Day, a blessed day. It's good to be back here together. Before we get in the lesson, I have a note here. The 50-plus group will meet at the Homestead Restaurant on Friday, June 5th at 5 p.m. Those wanting to ride the church bus need to be at the church by 3:45. The bus will leave at 4, and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. So keep that in mind for the 50-plus. All right, if you would, like our scripture reading, open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I think we'll get the PowerPoint in here in just a second. But I want you to think about something. We're mainly going to be focusing on chapter 4 and verse 2. Thank you, sir. And I want us to think about, starting here, authority. And I want us to think about this verse in detail. Preach the word. So 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now I want you to focus right there on that word preach. And I put the Greek word there, karuxon. It's actually the lexical form is karuso. It means a herald. Right? And that's just used in the verb tense of second person singular, so he's saying you preach, right? And I know the you in the bigger picture of the book is Timothy, but the you is also you and I, and in that, you know, we all preach in a different way, right? Just because you're not the preacher and you don't get up in the pulpit and preach lessons, that doesn't mean that you don't preach, you don't proclaim. And so the root word here, or the main word for this, comes from the idea of a herald. We've talked about this before. And a herald back in those times would be at the right hand of the king. King would make a proclamation, and then the herald would be the one to, in a loud voice, proclaim it to the listeners, and he would proclaim word for word what the king said. And then that herald, or many heralds, would go to the different villages or towns, what have you, in the kingdom and repeat the king's words exactly. And that had everything to do with authority, right? So the herald, if he's speaking the exact words of the king, there was authority behind that, right? So there's authority behind the message. So you have authority behind what you're supposed to do with the message. In kind of a broader sense here real quick, I just wanted to note this and in the bigger context. And so 2 Timothy really... a good way to remember is how to be constant in your faith. So it's the book of consistency. And you see some wonderful verses throughout this book that we have just kind of by way of reminder, right? In chapter 1, verse 7, we have been given a spirit of fear or timidity, but of love, power, and sound mind. He goes on to say in verse 12 of chapter 1, right? He says, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him that day. And then he goes into chapter 2, talking about doctrine, right? Talking about this wonderful message, these things you heard from me, verse 2, commit that to faithful men. Chapter 2, verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right, so he's talking about the word, right? He's talking about authority in this book, how to be constant in our faith. In chapter 3, 16 and 17, right, he's going to talk about the word again. He's talking about all scripture. Well, what's the source of it, Paul? He says, well, it's given by the inspiration of God, the breath of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Then we get to chapter 4. And remember, man added in the chapters. It's still the same context. It's not somehow a new thought, right? So in this powerful book on how to be constant in your faith, doctrine matters, authority absolutely matters, right? And so specifically chapter 4 and verse 2, we get a command here. You be the herald, right? If you're willing to repeat the words of the king, you be a herald. You be that proclaimer. And so that's where we get this from. And you know, basically we're being encouraged to get out there for the sake of your soul, but also the souls of others, and proclaim. Right? Get out there and tell people the meaning of this crucial message, right? The word of God that will save your very soul. Now we might be thinking, okay, I agree, but how do I do that? And it's almost like the Lord anticipated that we would ask that question. It's kind of, well, I'm glad you asked. Here's how you do it. And he tells us in this very verse here, he's going to tell us how to accomplish that. And of course, it begins with that admonition of be ready, right? In season, out of season, you need to be ready and do these following three things: convince, rebuke, and exhort. And so that's going to be the three main points of our lesson this evening here. And we're going to look at this, the how to accomplish and the content of the message that we are to proclaim, that message we are to herald, that message that has authority behind it, if we're repeating the words of the King, right? So he's going to tell us how to do that. And so let's do that, beginning with the first one, number one, and that is convince. Or King James says reprove, ESV says correct. But it is the idea of convincing somebody, right? You need to change. Convincing somebody of what we have. Convincing somebody of the hope that's in us. And if you've ever had to convince somebody of something, you know exactly what this is all about. But you got to have your facts together, right? If you're going to convince somebody of something, you better have your facts together. You know, and you can apply this to anything, right? If you ever tried to convince somebody to vote a certain way, right? If you want to change their mind, you're going to have some facts ready, right? Here's why you should vote this way or not vote that way, right? Even maybe back in the day, you had to convince mom and dad to allow you to do something, right? You had to get your story together, your facts together, you're laying down evidence to get them to change something, or to give authorization for something, or to go in a particular direction. If you have a weak argument, you're not going to convince anybody of anything. And so that's what we need to be ready for. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. Have you ever had to convince somebody of the hope that is in you? Now, if you don't have hope in you, you're not going to convince anybody else of hope. It just doesn't work that way. You have to be convinced about the hope that you have, that confident expectation that you have, if you're ever going to convince anybody else, right? And so if you're going to proclaim the message and you don't have full hope in that message, you're not going to convince anybody. It just doesn't work that way, right? That's why Paul here, right, he's saying be ready in season, out of season, right? Be prepared in an opportune time and in an inopportune time, right? So be ready, no matter what the situation is, right, to convince somebody of that hope, convince somebody of what the gospel message is, of what it brings, right? So you got to be ready. And you got to be willing to tell people what it is that you have and what it is that they need, right? They need the gospel message. They need that hope, and you need to be absolute without wavering in this hope that the truth of the gospel brings. You know, Jesus, we talked about this last week, right? The message of the gospel is exclusive. Right? Acts 4:12, John 14:6, only way to the Father is through Jesus. Right? And so if you might be thinking, well, maybe there's other ways to the Father. Right? You're not going to be convinced in your own way. You're not going to be convincing concerning the exclusive nature of salvation only through Jesus. And so there's a lot of things we got to make sure that we fully understand, right? Convinced that the road is narrow, right? In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, you know, there's only one road, and it's narrow and it's difficult. You know, there's only one Lord, one Father, one baptism, right? Ephesians 4 and verse 1 and 2 and following. You got to be convinced of those things if you're ever going to convince somebody else, and also convince them that judgment is coming, right? Judgment's real, judgment's coming, and they need to be ready. If you're not convinced of that, then you're not going to convince everyone else or other people, right? And so this is why we proclaim what we proclaim, and we do it with the right attitude behind it. I want you to note next that the next thing we see here is rebuke. So preach a word, be ready in season, out of season, convince and rebuke. Now, this is the hard part, right? That this is the necessary but difficult part, right? And I always say when I do my sermons, I try to, you know, divide it up into these three areas. Some sermons, I need to absolutely convince people. Some sermons I need to rebuke. Some sermons I need to exhort, right? So there needs to be a good balance. And this is the one that nobody likes to do. Nobody wants to rebuke anybody for the most part. Now, if you like rebuking, you know, maybe some time for some self-inventory, right? I think rebuking, as necessary as it is, you know, we got to be careful if you like it too much, right? And I think there is to be a little hesitancy in this, but it absolutely needs to be done without a doubt. And if you've ever been rebuked, you know it's not any fun. You know, I was trying to think of a story in my life where I was rebuked, and rightfully so. When I was a police officer, the shifts that we did, we would do, for 1 month, you'd have 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then the next month, you'd switch 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then the next month, you'd switch 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. Terrible, terrible schedule. And we used to moonlight, and one of the places that we would moonlight is at the hospital. The hospital would pay you to come in uniform. They'd pay you to be there as a police officer, but they're paying you, right? Not the police department. And so I did a 2 to 10 shift, got right off, went to the hospital, worked all night, and I was on the 2 to 10 shift. I thought I went in at 2 o'clock later that day. I'd go home and sleep a little bit. Oh no, I forgot the month changed. I was supposed to be there at 6 in the morning, right? And I didn't show up at 6 in the morning. And so when I came in at 2, things my shift, sergeant's like, no, you should have been, I don't know why they didn't call me, but, you know, hey, I was wrong, you know, honest mistake, but I was wrong. I remember being rebuked, getting called in and standing there and, you know, a hat in hand, if you will. You know, that was one of the worst rebukes I ever got. And I deserved it. Did I ever miss another shift? No way, right? And then I was hyper aware of the shifts. But that's just an example in my life. If you've been rebuked, I'm sure you didn't like it. Or when you got to do the rebuking, when I worked for my father-in-law, you know, I'd have to hire and fire a lot of people. And, you know, you had to do rebuking. I didn't like that, but it had to be done. Rebuking your children. Right? And especially us having three girls and now a granddaughter, well, you know, another granddaughter, but she's still too cute to rebuke. You know, when they're young, on a Sunday in their little church dress, they can get away with murder with me, right? They can misbehave and I'll look the other way, but they can never get away with that with Christy, right? She knows it didn't work with her, right? She'd rebuke them if they need a rebuke. The point is, sometimes we need to be rebuked, and sometimes we have to rebuke others, and that's just the way that it is, right? We're all sinners. We all have a sin problem. We all struggle there in Romans 3, verse 10, verse 23. And we're never going to change if we're not rebuked at times, right? When you first obeyed the gospel, that hopefully was the result of being rebuked, right? The Word of God, you learned it, you learned about Jesus, what he did for you, what he accomplished on the cross, you got a sin problem, and you were cut to the heart. Wow, I got a sin problem, right? That's the Word of God rebuking you. And sometimes we need to get that in our message out there. You know, whoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is transgressing the law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. So because we love people, sometimes we have to rebuke people. So preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and teaching. So number three here, exhort. In proclaiming the word of God, not only must we convince and rebuke, but we have to exhort. Right? If our message is just about rebuking, people aren't going to grow from that, right? Or it's going to be the wrong kind of growth. And I think you're going to end up in a place where you don't want to be. And, you know, just like you can't do all exhorting, right? You're going to end up in a place you ought not be spiritually, individually, and as a body of believers. And I think, you know, different congregations, you know, sometimes suffer from one or the other, right? All exhorting, no rebuking or convincing, or, you know, all rebuking, no exhorting, and so on. So we got to be careful. There has to be a good balance here. And to me, this is the best part of preaching. As a preacher, I love exhorting. Absolutely love that. You know, times we convince people of the facts of the gospel. Sometimes we got to call out sin. We got to rebuke. But absolutely, we need to exhort. We got to build up. And you know, when we exhort folks, we get to show them the love of God. And speaking of exhortation, let me read Romans chapter 8. This is why I love this portion of preaching so much, is, you know, you just get to remind people of the love of God, the love of Christ. Romans 8, beginning verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And you drop down to verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love to preach that. I love to exhort. And, you know, if I'm going to take that message of the King, right, that's part of the message. And it's so good to be able to take that message and get it out there to people who need exhorting, to the brethren and to others. So I do appreciate that, that God allows me in the capacity that I have as a preacher to exhort people, right? And the word for exhort means to persuade, to even to beg, to beseech, to entreat, to encourage, to comfort, and console, right? And I'm sure you know people out there that need exhortation. And also, you know, when you are dealing with somebody that is not a Christian, you know, if you get an opportunity to teach someone, you know, make that prayer, God give you the wisdom, right? Do they need exhortation to start off with? They need rebuking? Do they need convincing? You know, at some point, you should hopefully be able to get all three in there. Many times, some people respond to exhortation. Some respond to rebuking. Some respond to convincing. Some respond to all three here. I want you to note here at the end of this verse, and we'll have our conclusion here, right? So we see two qualifications of this, right? That need to be applied as we do these three things concerning preaching the word, right? They are, New King James says, long-suffering. Your translation might say patience. You need to do it with patience or long-suffering. And, you know, because remember, you were once in their shoes. Remember that somebody along the way loved you enough to convince, rebuke, and exhort you. Right? So remember, you were where they are now. Right? So have patience. right? Have that long suffering here in this. But then the next thing is doctrine, right? Do not waver in doctrine. Your translation might say teaching, Greek word didache, teaching doctrine. Doctrine absolutely matters to God. If you ever come across someone that says doctrine doesn't matter, just tell them to read 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? Titus also. Doctrine matters to God. Patience matters to God, right? You're teaching for the right reasons, right? You're not doing it to win an argument. You're doing it because their soul is lost. You have this hope in you that you want them to see that hope, right? And so you need to do that, but you have to stay true to the doctrine. If you're trying to convince somebody with false doctrine, it's not going to do any good. Or rebuke someone or exhort them with false doctrine, it's not going to do them any good, right? And so you got to have that long suffering, and it needs to be with the right doctrine, right? And those aren't my words. That's what we see here, right? Convince with patience, convince with doctrine. Rebuke with patience, rebuke in doctrine. Exhort with patience, and exhort in doctrine. Now, our conclusion here, I just wanted to note this. And so this word here for preaching, well, it's caruso, is the root word. A little bit later in history, Latin took that word and they called it crux, right? And maybe you've heard that phrase before, the crux of a matter, right? If you ever heard that phrase, well, that's where it comes from. It comes from this word right here that you see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, for preach, caruxon, in its form there. You know, Latin came along a little bit later, took that word, crux, and that's where we get that idea of the crux of the matter, right? What we're saying is this is important information. Right, this is critical for you to understand. Right, and 2 Timothy was written to Christians and for Christians on how to be constant in our faith. Right, if we want to be constant in your faith, you need to understand how critical this is. You need to be a herald of the King and get that message out there. Right, you want to be ready. You know, even when it's not convenient. Right. Even when it's inconvenient, you've got to be ready. Because if it's inconvenient and you don't do it because it's inconvenient, well, then you'll use that excuse all the time. So be ready, right? With this critical information, just be ready to convince, right? Be prepared to tell people what they need to know to be saved. Rebuke, expose sin, show the consequences of sin, but do it in love. Exhort, build up, encourage, console the lost with the saving word of God. And do these things with patience and do it with the right and proper doctrine. This evening, if you are here and you've never obeyed the gospel, listen, the truth of the matter is I love you enough to tell you, if you haven't obeyed the gospel and you're at that age or beyond the age of accountability, listen, if you die right now, you will die separate from God. You will die and spend eternity separated from God in eternal hell. And so I love you enough to tell you, you need to obey the gospel. And these aren't my words. And if you want to question me on that, great. We'll sit down and open up the Word of God. But you're going to see that you need to put on Christ in baptism. Wash away your old sins. You got to start over. You can do that with a response of faith. You're going to love God. You're going to bear the cross daily. You're going to believe who Jesus is. Repent of your sins. Confess him before men. And if you're willing to do that, you get to start all over. Clean slate. And that's just the truth of the matter. If you have done that and you've fallen away, went back into a lifestyle of sin, beware. We can absolutely lose our faith. But the good news is we get to start over. We can be reconciled to God. So if you have any need spiritually this evening, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.